Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
We just put a very forgettable and horrendous first quarter behind us. And can markets across the ASEAN region rebound as we enter the month of April? Well, early signs, at least, for markets in Thailand point to a more promising start, at least, for the Thai set. In fact, we're seeing that so far they're trading slightly in the green in the early afternoon. But again, things could change at the drop of a hat, especially sentiment, as Thailand itself also grapples with the rising number of COVID-19 cases that continues to keep the country under severe movement restrictions and has also impacted the economy in a severe manner. Will recent measures by the government to try and boost economic stimulus and try to provide economic stimulus actually help Thailand get out of this sooner rather than later? And how does all the developments with regards to COVID-19, how is this impacting the outlook now for the Thai economy and markets in general? Well, today on Across the ASEAN, we're joined by Ms. Maria Lapis. She's a managing director at Maybank Kim Eng in Thailand, and she joins us today on the phone from Bangkok to help us kick off the second quarter on Across the ASEAN. Ms. Lapis, thank you so much for joining us. Good afternoon to you. And first and foremost, I hope that you're in good health and that you and your loved ones are safe in these very challenging times.
Yes, good afternoon. So far, we're okay. We are just extra careful in our activities and try to ensure that we don't expose ourselves to risk unnecessarily.
Absolutely.
So it's a very constrained movement, but we are fine.
Okay, it's good to hear that you're in a good health. And as we know, the last time we spoke, Ms. Lapis, was last February, and so much has changed since then. It's almost a very different world. The COVID-19 pandemic has pretty much spread increasingly across almost all countries in the ASEAN region, including here in Singapore and out in Thailand. As you know, recently the government in Thailand has mulled a possible economic stimulus package. They've also decided to increase the number of cash handouts they've extended to workers and citizens who are affected by the COVID-19 package. But this entails a lot of spending and a lot of stimulus. Based on what you know, are Thailand's finances in a good place to meet a possible stimulus package or additional stimulus measures that might be needed by many industries in Thailand?
Based on our tally, the running total now is closer to 700 billion support fund, and this includes the most recently announced move, which is to allocate 10% of the ministerial budget, and that can liberate something like 190 or so billion baht. So the stimulus and support package to cushion the downside is now getting up to something like 4 to 5% of GDP. Now we think that the government can handle these finances. As you probably know, we have a current account surplus. We also have international reserves of something like $230 billion. And currently, our public debt to GDP ratio is at 43%. And by law, the ceiling is set at 60%. So there is room to borrow to finance these stimulus and packages that can help cushion the downside.
And in fact, the last time also we spoke, Ms. Lapis, you were actually hinting at possible sectors that could actually rebound. And it just struck me that Thailand's economy seems to be a lot more balanced than some might actually think. We talked about the agriculture sector, for instance, possibly bouncing back, the industrial component sector in Thailand actually coming back. And you add that to the sizable manufacturing and tourism sector. There's a lot of, it's a very broad-based economy, actually. But recently, the virus has really laid all of these sectors you've mentioned very heavy blows. Are there any other sectors in Thailand that might come out of this better than some of the ones we just mentioned? And can you give us an idea of just how broad-based the economic impact of the COVID-19 has been across all of these sectors in Thailand?
Yeah, the Thai economy does look balanced at the macro level, right? And from a sector point of view, but it is very imbalanced in the way the resources are shared, though. So different implications. Anyway, still too early to pin sectors that might come out better off by this situation. Looks like the hospitality sector would be one of those. With the shutdowns, I expect many operators to suffer, and this could lead to a supply contraction. Yesterday, there was news that 95% of the members of the Thai Hotel Association, and we're talking about 30,000 entities, are going to go through a very tough situation because of shutdowns and basically drastic drop in traffic. So there will be some supply supply correction following this. So we think that after the COVID, we probably will have a better time in terms of room rates and RevPAR. And also, we know before COVID that there was a significant increase in supply of hotels and commercial spaces. And I think with the new economics, some of these projects may have to be delayed like a year or two later.
So tourists,
if the situation lasts longer than this, Patrick, I think the area that could see a definitive change is the e-commerce. As you know, Thailand is one of the last in terms of adoption of this new way of purchasing products. And if this situation is prolonged, then the habit of buying product from e-commerce outlets will become quite a trend. So I think that e-commerce might actually might be able to see a faster growth than they have had seen so far in this country.
I'm glad you mentioned the e-commerce there, because it leads to my next question, Ms. Lapis, of course, that the state of consumer sentiment in Thailand, has consumption been hit significantly there affected by the lockdowns? And can you give us an idea of how important consumer sentiment really is to the overall economy and how important it is to keep this afloat, if it's important at all?
Oh, yeah, well, consumption has been in doldrums for quite a number of years, if I may say. So reviving consumer sentiment is very important, but I think it's very difficult to revive consumer sentiment in any other way except provide jobs that have longevity. And household leverage is high, and without stable jobs, people will remain cautious. So consumer sentiment is definitely important, and it is tied to job opportunities. However, recently, in the short term, we have a lot of panic buying. We have a lot of people like going for purchasing more than normal in terms of consumables and basic products. So the Bank of Thailand report yesterday showed that private consumption index is one of the few aspects of the economy that actually posted growth in February. And when I look deeper, I can see a major growth in food and beverage, close to 10%. And I think March will be something similar in terms of a short-term trend, positive. But I will not interpret this as anything close to overall recovery and consumer sentiment.
We're still speaking to Ms. Maria Lapis. She's the managing director for Maybank Kim Eng and Across the ASEAN today. Ms. Lapis, I want to ask you now, because we've talked about consumer sentiment, we've talked about a lot of these sectors really getting affected significantly. There are now whispers across the ASEAN of this COVID-19 pandemic being similar to the 1997 crisis. And from our basic history, we know that that was accompanied by concerns of higher defaults, non-performing loans, a lot of credit issues for major corporations in Thailand across the region. What might this mean actually for the banks in Thailand if we start to face this? Is this a concern that you are trying to ascertain or factor when you develop your outlook for Thai markets, or adjust your position at least on where Thai markets might head? Are the banks going to be facing big challenges because of potential defaults and non-performing loans?
In the recent years, banks' loan growth has been lagging the GDP growth. And that is just a reflection of the general lack of appetite to borrow, low capex, that is, and also the growth of the bond market. Banks have always been trying to manage their NPL, and the ratio is quite low. In preparation, and the preparation for the new accounting standards that was rolled beginning this year actually compelled them to do a better job in NPL management. So I'm not worried about banks. I worry about the banks in relation to the ability to grow loans. Where I worry about is the bond market. Because over the last few years, most corporates funded their capex or their working capital requirement with bond issues. And I think this is where defaults could materialize. So I'm not so sure how this will fit into the banks, but there is risk in the bond market. However, I would like to say this, that the BOT has actually come up with some sort of measures that can help ease potential tight liquidity in the bond market. Whether it will work or not, we will have to wait and see.
All right. And Ms. Lapis, before we let you go, one last question. As you know, one of Singapore's largest companies, Singtel, happens to have an affiliate out in Thailand called AIS. And this leads me to my question about where the telco sector in Thailand is heading. How do you think the telcos might fare? On one hand, folks are speculating that lockdowns might see an increase in demand for data as people work from home. But on the other hand, we could actually see telcos continue to be constrained also possibly on the credit side or even in terms of overall mobile revenue demand, especially from roaming revenue. What is your outlook for the telco sector in these very interesting times? Could they actually see an opportunity in terms of higher data demand, or are there other risks that might actually keep the telcos in the doldrums as well?
I think higher data consumption is a foregone conclusion. There's a work from home, a lot of exchanges of what's going on with COVID, people sharing and so on and so forth. That's definitely data. But we need explosion of data usage is a thing that we have seen in Thailand for a number of years now. But where I would be focusing on is more on the average revenue per user, because that has been really quite flat. So while data is going to see exponential growth, I think we also need to see where the ARPU is, because otherwise this is just going to be all about higher network costs for the telco operators.
Right.
But yes, data consumption is going to surge, especially for, we are very good in data usage.
Yeah, but the data usage will not... It won't really it doesn't mean it will directly translate into higher ARPUs or average revenues per user. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's something that we have to wait and see.
Okay. Very interesting insights there as we head into a second quarter that seems to pose more challenges for markets across the ASEAN, including out in Thailand. We'd like to thank Ms. Maria Lapis, the Managing Director of Maybank Kim Eng out in Bangkok. And we hope again that you stay in safe and stay in good health for you and your loved ones during these very challenging times. We appreciate the time and have a good afternoon, ma'am.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.